In Matthew chapter 24, notice with me this evening in verse 4 and 5, and this is number 9 of our Take Heed series. And this evening, take heed that no man deceive you. He says here, as we read in verse 4 and verse 5, we have these words, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Father, thank you this evening for the privilege again that you've given us to assemble together. We ask your anointing and blessing upon your precious word, upon the reading of thy word. We ask again tonight, Lord, that you speak to our hearts, for it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen, and you may be seated. As we said a number of times, the word take heed means to be on guard. And here in this text, in verse 4, Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Now, this is a warning, of course, against deception given to the disciples, the believers, in the first century. How much more should we take heed to the warning here in the last days? And I want you to notice with me, as we look at these verses, and we're going to turn away from here in just a moment, but the word deceived means to be misled, led in error, or beguiled. It means to be cheated or deluded. Now, that's the 1828 Webster's Dictionary. And there's many other synonyms we could use. It literally means to the word to deceive is to make something false appear to be true. And that's something we must watch out for in the religious world as well as in the secular world. Now, in the context here, this is Matthew chapter 24. This is the Olivet Discourse, Christ's teaching on the Mount of Olives. And there's some signs given in this chapter. And I want you to notice, I'm going to give you a few of those signs, but I want you to notice that the first sign, the first warning that the Lord gives is deception. I mean, He mentions many other things, and I'll show you those in just a moment. But the first thing that He says, He said, "Take heed that you be not deceived." Now, in the context of Matthew 24, He's dealing with the destruction of Jerusalem and also the second coming. I mean, if you were to scan down through these verses from verse 6, He begins dealing with wars and rumors of wars. He said, "Nation shall rise against nation." He said there would be famines, there would be pestilence, there would be earthquakes in diverse places. He says in this chapter there would be persecutions, there would be tribulations. He said there would be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, verse 29, 30, 31, and so forth. And He also tells the disciples there will be something that you'll see, and that is the abomination of desolation. And so He's talking about, in these verses, He's talking about to the disciples, to the believers in the first century, the apostles, the disciples. He's saying, "Take heed that no man deceive you," and He's dealing with the destruction of Jerusalem, which we know now that took place in A.D. 70. And when He said, when you see the abomination of desolation, and they saw it in the first century, those that were living during this time. But He also is given signs in this chapter pointing unto the second coming of Jesus Christ. So there's many signs and warnings, but the first thing He says is, in verse 4, "Take heed that no man deceive you." That's interesting. He didn't start off with wars and rumors of wars and pestilence and famines. He said, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Now, I want you to notice with me in verse 5, that in verse 5, He says, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Notice the times in this chapter, before we turn away, that we have false Christ and false prophets or false teachers. Come down with me to verse 8 and notice here. In verse 8 to verse 11, He said, "All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, shall kill you. You shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Notice with me as we come down to verse 23 through about verse 27. He says in this passage, he said, "Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, inasmuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chamber. Believe it not, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth in the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." So in this chapter, you've got several verses that just deals with the deception of false Christ and false prophets. So I have three things I want to give you tonight, and then I'm going to shut up and we'll go home. The first thing is the devil is the great deceiver. He is the great deceiver. I've preached a few times here lately in rescue missions and a couple other places, even at the abortion clinic. I preached a few times and talked about the three enemies of the believer. But the devil is an enemy of the believer and the unbeliever as far as that goes. But number one, the devil is a great deceiver. I want you to notice with me in John, and I'm going to refer to more verses than we'll turn to, but I'll turn to some. Notice in John chapter 8. Now, Satan is the source of all deception. He is a deceiver, and he uses men to deceive other men. And every lie is rooted in the devil. Now, you think about that. You think about that with our children and how that we should train that every lie is rooted in the devil. He is the source. He is the enemy of the believer. He is also an enemy of the unbeliever because he'll try to keep you from getting saved. And you'll notice with me as we come to this chapter, I want you to see that Satan is a liar and he is the originator of all lies. And Satan is not the figment of the imagination. He is not something that we as the church has invented in order to scare people, you know, into salvation. He is real. Now notice as we come here, and by the way, if you're taking notes tonight, Genesis 3, 4, and 5, and also 1 Timothy 2, 14, the Bible says the serpent deceived Eve, that is in paradise in the Garden of Eden. She knew the truth. Now think about this. She knew the truth. The Bible says Adam wasn't deceived. Now he's still guilty of the rebellion. But the Bible says that she was deceived and she knew the truth. God gave her the commandments pertaining to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and she fell into transgression. Why did she do so? Because she was deceived. Satan is a deceiver. He began deceiving there. He's been doing it ever since, and he's doing it today. Now, you notice in John chapter 8, reading in verse 44, he said, "Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your fathers you'll do." Now, he's talking to the unbelievers in Israel of his day, not the believers. He said, "He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Wherefore, he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Notice that. And he said, "Because I tell you the truth," in verse 45, "you believe me not." So Satan is a great deceiver. I want you to turn with me, please, to 1 Peter, chapter 5. Now, if you'll write these references down, again, because of us folding missionary letters, I'm just going to give some references instead of turn and go to each one of them as I originally planned to do. And I appreciate you coming and helping with the missionary work this evening. So I'm going to at least give you several references this evening. We may not turn to all of them. But in Revelation 12, verses 9, 10, 11, we find that Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. He's the accuser of the brethren. In Revelation 20 and verse 10, he is called a deceiver. He deceives the nation. And you'll find that as you read through that chapter, verses 7 through 10. And looking at Revelation 13, verses 11 through 14, again, Satan is a great deceiver. The Bible said in 1 John 2:13, talks about those who have overcome the devil. That is the wicked one. James 4, verse 7 and 8 says we are to resist the devil. And the way that we resist the devil is not put our dukes up and fight him. We resist him by drawing nigh unto God. As Scripture says, we're no match for the devil. Now, in 1 Peter 5, I want to read two verses. And you can write down beside this 2 Corinthians 11:14. I want you to see that Satan has two faces. Now, I think this is important. He can appear in a number of different ways, but he has at least two faces. He comes in sometimes as a roaring lion, ferocious, very scary, and devouring. He also appears, as I just gave you in 2 Corinthians 11:14, he appears as an angel of light. So those are two opposites right there. Comes as an angel of light, and we'll read that passage a little later on, but he comes as a roaring lion. There's not one of you sitting here tonight, including myself, that if they was a 200 or 300 pound lion, or I don't know how big they get, but I know they're big, and they're mean, and they're ferocious. If there's one out here in the parking lot, y'all would be asking me if you could stay in the prophet's chamber tonight. You say, have you got place for me to sleep tonight? Amen? Because you don't want to face that. The Bible says here in chapter 5, verse 11, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Now notice verse 8. He said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So we see him here as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's devouring not only lost in this world, but he's trying to devour every believer that he can get his hands on. Now in 2 Corinthians, notice here, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now here's some other references I'm going to give you. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 2:11 that talks about the devices of Satan. In Ephesians 4, verse 27, the Bible says, neither give place to the devil. Don't give him any areas in your life, your family, in your church, or don't give him any areas. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 11, he came and tempted Christ. He's a tempter. In Ephesians 6, verses 10 through about verse 16, the Bible talks about the wiles of the devil, the tricks, the plans, and so forth of the devil. In Luke chapter 22, verse 31 through 34, the night that before Jesus went to the cross and died, they're having the Passover and the Lord's Supper is instituted, we find that Jesus told Peter there that night, said, Satan desires to sift you as wheat. And he basically said, when you're strengthened, when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. And as we read in that passage, and think about sifting, years ago when I was in construction work, if the sand had rocks in it or problems with it, we would sift the sand through a screen. And so he's saying, Satan desires to sift you. He wanted to destroy them. And Peter made some very bold statements, like, I'll never deny you, Lord. And you remember what the Lord told him? What would happen that very night? Well, Peter underestimated the power of Satan, and he overestimated his own flesh and his own confidence. Have we seen that many times in our own lives and the lives of others? In 2 Thessalonians 2:3, there is deception again pertaining to Christ's coming. The Lord said there's at least two things that must happen before Christ will come. So He can come anytime, just at any time. There's two things that would have to happen when Paul wrote the letter there. He talks about a falling away first, man of sin, the son of perdition, would have to be revealed before Christ could come. So there's many ways and many forms of deception. Now, I'm going to be reading here, and You'll notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I want you to see here that Satan is in the business of blinding individuals. The Bible said here in verse 3, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." Now notice this, "in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Satan is blinding individuals, and he's trying to keep them from hearing and seeing and understanding and receiving the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, number two, I want you to turn with me to 2 Thessalonians. And notice here, number two, the danger of deception. We see that the devil, Satan, is a great deceiver. The second thing I want you to notice is the danger of deception. I'm going to be reading here in this passage two things about the danger of deception. Is one is that it damns souls to hell. Now you think about that. And then, not only that, he will rob believers of their joy and their peace and the rewards that they would receive in the kingdom of God. So the danger of this, and this is one of the chief weapons that Satan has, is deception. And he uses his ministers to preach false gospel and false doctrine. Deception is spiritually deadly, very clear, but it damns souls to hell. Those who do not believe, that are blinded. And then, not only that, if you and I are not careful about this, then it can rob us of peace and joy, and it can rob us of rewards that we would receive from the Lord, and also blessings in this life. I've been deceived before. How many can say amen? And I pray that we're not now, and I pray if we are in any area that God would show us and wake us up to that. Well, you'll notice in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'm going to begin reading in verse 7. And he says here in this passage, he said, "For the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish." Now look at this. "Because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause." What cause? They receive not the truth. They would not accept the truth. He said, "For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie." I believe there are those today that are under a strong delusion. They've rejected the truth. They've told God to take a hike. They don't want His Word, don't want His truth. And so, he said they would receive a strong delusion, they'd be given that they might believe a lie. Then in verse 12, "that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." And then verse 13 and 14 and 15, it begins talking about those who believe the truth and are saved by the grace of God. There's that comparison between the two. So the danger of deception is that it damns souls to hell, and it will rob believers of joy, blessings, and rewards. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, notice here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I'm just going to begin reading in verse 13, and this is kind of cover false prophets and also, it will cover Satan himself. Notice as we come to this. Now, the book of Jude, verse 3 and 4, if you're taking notes, these false teachers, led by Satan, they turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. Now, in that passage, they're not legalistic Judaizers, but they are teaching a cheap grace. They are the Judaizers. They are the legalistic. But there are those today in our circles, and we know of many, that they preach a grace that is very, very cheap. The Bible said the grace of God that we're saved by will also teach us to deny ungodliness. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11, 12, 13, and 14. In other words, the same grace that saves us will teach us and lead us how to live in this life. Colossians 2, I'm not asking you to turn there, but in Colossians chapter 2, we see that you and I as believers can be robbed. He said in verse 8, he said, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy," that is a love of wisdom, "and vain deceit," that's religion, "after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." So you and I can be robbed of rewards and blessings from God if we allow ourselves to be deceived. Now, notice as we come here to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, reading three verses, he said in verse 13, he said, "For such are false apostles." Now look at this. Here's what they're called. Deceitful. See that word, deceitful workers. We're talking about, take heed that you be not deceived. Let no man deceive you. He said they're deceitful workers. Notice, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. There are many today on television and radio and across our land that they look more spiritual than some of the people that are trying to stand and preach the truth. And I could give you names tonight. People are constantly asking me, "Do you believe in this? Call off certain ones in television ministry. What do you think about them?" I said, "I don't believe they're saved. I believe they're a false prophet." There's many out there like that. And he goes on to say in verse 14, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." Think about this. Verse 15, "Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." There are a lot of people talking about light today and ignore Jesus Christ. That's another light. There are people talking about having death experiences, near-death experiences. Maybe they get a taste of heaven. Maybe they don't. Maybe Satan revealing himself to them. Somebody tried to hand me a book here about a year ago. Someone should read this. And when they started putting my hand, I said, "I don't really need that." Somebody that had died supposedly and went to heaven, you know, and had gotten saved through all this. And so anyway, I seen on the book. I said, "No, I'll just keep the book." I seen the website. You know, it had a website, you know, on it. And I came home and typed it in. And they had short video clips, about 15-minute video clips. I watched two of them. And, it sounds real good. Sounds real good for a while. But then there was somebody they met in heaven that knew this person's wife and said, "Would you give them a message?" And I called the person up. I said, "Throw the book away." There's a lot of deceivers in the world today. I'm not saying they didn't have an experience, but I'm going to tell you something. They didn't go to heaven and meet somebody to give a message to be brought back, you know, to one of their relatives. No, no, no. No, that's not scriptural at all. See? And so there's a lot of deception out there. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7. There's something coming along new every day to catch our attention. Some fancy, something new, something different. Instead of just the day in and day out work and serving the Lord and being faithful, got to be something different and exciting, you know, and those kind of things. Well, notice as we come to Matthew 7. If you're taking notes, Matthew 16, verses 6 through 12. We see that the Lord speaks of the Pharisees' doctrine and they are blind leaders of the blind in those two verses, verse 6 and verse 12. Now notice, as we come to Matthew 7, I'm going to be reading verse 15 through 20. But if you'll read the context here, you're going to find that in verse 13 through verse 14, false prophets will lead people in the broad way that leads to destruction, which is contrary to the narrow way that leads to true Christianity. And also, if you'll read later in verses 24 through about verse 29, you'll find that we must build upon the right foundation. And that is the teachings of Jesus Christ. were built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and the apostles and prophets of the Bible taught the things that Jesus gave them. But notice as we come to Matthew 7, reading from verse 15, he says this in verse 15, he said, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather..." Let me come down with me to verse 19. "Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast in the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and thy name have done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Many false prophets teaching a false gospel, deceiving many in the world. Now I want you to turn with me, please. And the third thing I'm going to give you this evening, I want you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And the third and last thing is the deliverance from deception. First of all, we said the devil is a great deceiver. The devil is a great deceiver. And now we want to look at the fact that of our deliverance from deception. And there's only one way to be delivered, and as it is heeding to the right doctrine that's given to us in the Word of God. Notice as we come to 1 Timothy chapter 4, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 11. Biblical doctrine is essential not only to salvation, but it is essential to the survival of God's people. Now notice as we come here to this passage, verse 11. "These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth." Now Paul, the aged, is writing to Timothy, the young preacher. He said, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation and doctrine," to doctrine rather. Now notice he said, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy." And he said, "with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery." So he's ordained, laid hands on him, sent him into the ministry. He said, verse 15, "Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all." Now notice the next verse. I read all that to get to this. He's telling the preacher, he said, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Now he's not talking about being saved from hell. Timothy's already saved from hell. But he's talking about you better meditate upon these things. You better take heed unto the doctrine. You better continue in the doctrine, because this is the only way you can save yourself, saying to Timothy, and also those that hear you in the congregation. You'll notice with me in verse 1 of this chapter. And by the way, if you're taking notes tonight, John 7, verse 16 through 17, Christ's doctrine was from heaven, from the Father. And the way to get it is by pure motives and a heart's desire to do God's will. That's in John 7, verse 16 and 17. And in verse 1 of this chapter, he said, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Let me just stop reading right there. Notice, doctrines of devils. Plural. The word doctrine is pluralized here. Here, because of it is diverse and conflicting. There's many doctrines of devils, but there's only one doctrine of God. There is unity, there is harmony. How many faiths are the faith, F-A-I-T-H-S, faith, in Ephesians 4? There's one Lord, one faith, and so forth. But there's many doctrines of devils because there is no harmony, there's diversity, there's conflicting doctrines coming from every angle, but there's only one doctrine of Jesus Christ, and we must find it, we must search for it and pray for it, and buy the truth and sell it not, as Proverbs chapter 23, verse 23 says. Now, what I want to do is I want to close. I want to come to John 8 and notice here. We already been there once, but let's go there and we'll close here. Now, I got some other verses to give you. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1, 2, and 3 says, "Try the spirits, for there are many false prophets that have gone out into the world. Try the spirits of men." In 1 John 2, verses 18 and 19 and verse 22, he speaks of Antichrist. He said there's many Antichrists. An Antichrist is anyone who denies the truth about Jesus Christ. They were Antichrist in the 1st century, 2nd century, 3rd century, and there's Antichrist today. Everybody's looking for one major Antichrist. There's many Antichrists. Okay? All through church history, there's been Antichrist. Now, notice in John 8, I'm going to read one or two verses. We're going to close, but I want to give you about seven other verses. I wrote these down so I would not forget them. And so I'm going to give you some other verses. 2 years ago, 2010, I guess that's 2 years ago, I preached the message, "Deceiving Ourselves." And I gave you seven ways that we can deceive ourselves. One is James 1, verse 19. 18 through 25. We deceive ourselves if we are hearers of the word and not doers. Okay? James 1:26, we deceive ourselves if we seem to be religious and bridleth not our tongue. Galatians 6:3, we deceive ourselves if we think ourselves to be something we are not. James, Galatians 6:7, we deceive ourselves if we think we can sow to the flesh and not reap of the flesh. 1 Corinthians 15:23, we deceive ourselves if we think we can have contact with sin and it not affect us. Evil communications corrupt good manners. There's no way we can play with it and not be damaged by it. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 18 and 19, we deceive ourselves if we think ourselves to be wise with the wisdom of this world. Don't you get sick of the wisdom of this world? 1 Corinthians 6, 9, 10, 11. We deceive ourselves if we think the unrighteous will inherit the kingdom of God. Now listen to this. In those verses, verse 9, 10, 11, he said, "Be not deceived." He said, "The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God." He gives a list of sins. And he says, but such were some of you. He said, now you're washed, now you're sanctified, and now you're justified. We deceive ourselves if we think that people are going to go into the kingdom of God without repentance, without being saved, without being justified, without being sanctified, without being washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. We deceive ourselves. Now notice carefully, as we come to John chapter 8, I'm going to read two verses. By the way, let me just make mention of this. There's many false teachings and deception, but just recently, and somebody brought this to my attention. I went and checked it out on the internet. Another snake handler has died. And how many have ever seen or heard of a snake handling meeting? Where I'm from, Eastern Tennessee, there were many snake handlers when I was growing up. I've been in their meetings. Another one has died because of a bite of a rattlesnake this past week, and his father died from the same thing, both of them ministers. Well, they take that out of Mark over there. This happened up in West Virginia, but this thing originated in Tennessee. It was North Georgia and Tennessee. And even a little bit in Alabama, up near the very top of Alabama, and Virginia, West Virginia, Kentucky, some of those states around there. And the only reason I brought this up is that this is how people can be seen. I know some of you couldn't be talked into picking up a snake if they had a gun to your head, and that's pretty much true with me. But that's deception. That's deception to tempt God to handle snakes. Amen? I mean, and that's deception. And here's a man dead now because, and there's been at least 100 die from snake bites in religious services. I don't know where it's at. I got some of the footage on video. I kept it for years and years and years. It's got to be somewhere filed in my office, never be seen again. But I've kept that stuff for years. I've got footage of these snake handling meetings. He says here in verse 31, 32, we're going to close. He says this. He says that, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believe on Him, if you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth, notice, shall set you free." Many of you have got that to memory. We read that verse a number of times throughout a year. And I simply close this verse, love the truth, because it sets us free. It makes us free. Keep the truth, cherish the truth, live the truth, seek it, buy it, and don't sell it, because we are living in a country that is walking away from the truths of God's Word. So take heed that no man deceive you. Stop right here.